The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is the post-Thanksgiving edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Washington Redskins fall to 6-4-1 after a 31-26 loss to the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. And by the way, this game, from what I'm hearing, I believe was the most watched sports event on Fox, I think it was, in history.
It could well
lots
be because
of people watching.
You know, because it's good for the NFL to have this rivalry
mean something.
A live, important rivalry, because in years past, one team was up, well, most of the time it was Dallas that was up, and the Burgundy and Gold were down. But yeah, I could see that as a prime time Thanksgiving. That's the type of game, the matchup you want on Thanksgiving. Now, the results weren't quite what I had hoped for. And what made it so bad, man, you know what? I hate Dak Prescott, man.
But you love him so much.
They too good, man. How did Dallas get, man, that just isn't right.
And everybody skipped Dak at least, what, four times?
Yeah.
Some even more than that because of the fourth round pick. I don't know how that happens. And again, every time we talk about Dak, I think I mentioned this. Forget Romo getting hurt. If it weren't for Kellen Moore getting hurt 2 weeks before Romo got hurt, Dak might not even be in the. Well, you would assume he'd be in by now. But
maybe,
I mean,
maybe.
But the way, you know, chance is, who knows if he would have been in by now?
Well, what's with these guys whose job it is to scout college ball players to assess talent and say this guy can do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. This guy can't do X, Y, and Z. All these guys are useless. Every single one of them.
Right, because clearly the boy can play football. He can play quarterback. And you look at some of the guys, like whether it's Paxton Lynch, who else? Jared Goff, all these guys, Carson Wentz, all these guys, is all they were talking about heading into the draft. And then Dak Prescott's the one, setting all the records, and he's 10-1, Cowboys starting quarterback. And by the way, so yeah, the Cowboys and Redskins, I want to make sure I get this right, set an NFL regular season ratings record.
I can believe that.
Wow.
I can believe that.
A lot of folks watching the game. And by the way, a lot of folks at my house for Thanksgiving watching the game. A lot of folks at your house for Thanksgiving watching the game. Yeah. We took some audio.
Quite an experience.
we were able to have some fun and record what the mood was like during the game.
Yeah,
emotional game for many people. Very emotional. So we'll play
emotional.
That in the next segment. Also, we'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, what we did and stuff like that in the second segment. And then in the third segment, we'll take a look at the skin schedule going ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, look, we were talking about Dak and how teams missed on him. Let's not sleep on Zeke, too, because, you know, with this new, quote-unquote, new NFL, the passing game is amplified, the running game is minimized. The running backs are being devalued. Zeke shows you that if you have a good running back, it adds so much to your game, and it puts so much pressure on opposing defenses.
Right.
I bet everybody wishes they had one now.
Well, let's not forget, this is a team, by the way, the Cowboys, who only won one game last year without Romo.
That's right.
And that game, again, I can't stress it. It's not like Matt Castle came to FedEx and beat the Redskins. DeSean Jackson made a mistake, basically gave them the ball in the red zone with less than 2 minutes left in the game. And that's how they won it. So it's not like the quarterback who even won the game even did anything to win it. So this team wins one game last year without Romo. They go 4-12. And then this year, they're 10-1 without him. He hasn't even stepped. The one time he actually stepped foot on the field, he hurt his back, and he hasn't. And the next thing you know, Dak's starting. Zeke has replaced Darren McFadden, who, by the way, was injured going in. He's got Alfred backing him up. And now they're 10-1. two guys making the difference.
Now, you know, people predicted that this team would be in last place in the NFC East this time.
The same way you get rid of the scouts and get rid of the professional prognosticators who know everything. Because you always see this. You always see teams. And here's the interesting thing. I mean, it's one thing to pick them last in the division. If you're going into the season, you're making that pick, and Romo's already hurt. But when he's healthy, you just look back to 2014, the team was 12-4. And yeah, so I didn't necessarily get the whole finish last thing, especially with Philadelphia looking the way Philadelphia does.
Now, okay, not wanting to give all the praise to the Cowboys, although they deserve it. The Burgundy and Gold had every opportunity to win this game. Every opportunity. It was just a series of bad decisions.
And bad decisions by the coaching staff. And I don't want to blame so there's always a fall guy, you know? Usually, you know, if you're the quarterback, if the quarterback throws an interception, a lot of times he gets blamed for it. They don't care if the receiver ran the wrong route or broke the wrong way or didn't fight to come back for the ball. They don't care about the specifics. You do the interception. And sometimes as a coach, who cares if you're calling the plays? Who cares if you're the one who's supposed to make sure that the 11th guy is on the field so you have to call it? No one cares about that. You're the head coach. You usually get blamed for a lot of that stuff. With that being said, I don't know who's responsible for a lot of this stuff, but Jay Gruden had a really bad Thanksgiving game.
Yeah. What makes really you say that?
I mean, let's start early in the game with the Redskins lining up for this field goal, and it's clear that there's not 11 guys on the field. Call a timeout. There's this one guy at our Thanksgiving dinner, and I don't think you'll hear it on this audio that we have for next segment. He just jumps up and screams, "You're icing our own kicker! We're icing our own kicker!" And they snap the ball, but the whistle blows. He kicks the ball, goes straight through the uprights. Hopkins just kicks it right through the uprights.
With 10 guys on the field.
And so they break
that guy, obviously, is useless, right?
You don't need 11, maybe with 10. So then they call a timeout, they kick it again, and he misses it. Misses the field goal. And so on the heels of that, you're going into halftime, it wasn't quite going into halftime. The Skins are, it's a fourth down, and not quite going into halftime. They line up for a 55-yard field goal.
Yeah.
I'm thinking they were going to punt. So I kind of turn around, grab something to drink. I'm talking to a buddy, and he says, "Wait a minute, they kicked a field goal." We're like, "Wait, what?" Anyway, he misses the 55-yard field goal. On the heels of this other miss, I'm just trying to figure out, why would he kick that field goal? And then there were plenty of times later in the game where you go for it on fourth down. That might have been one of the times to go for it if you're going for it.
And a rash of decisions or attempts for a two-point conversion.
Yeah, as opposed out of to nowhere.
Just get
It about playing Dallas that makes teams want to go for 2 points? Because remember, Pittsburgh did that against Dallas. They didn't kick one extra point. They just kept going for two-point conversions.
I don't understand this. And I had a good conversation with several of my guests, and I explained to them the key to kicking, of knowing when to go for two, is you got to look at the results of what would happen if you don't make it.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
Not what happens if I make it.
Right.
What happens if we miss this two-point conversion?
So you couldn't tell that early in the game. So say, well, get your point. It's not guaranteed now. I think the week before last, there were 7 extra points missed.
Right.
But there's more chance of making that than it is these two. Stop. You're outthinking yourself, right? I don't understand what's going on. Maybe, like you said, something about being in prime time, that shiny blue helmet or whatever it is, right? But yeah, they had every opportunity, and they dug themselves in the hole. They quickly abandoned the running game when they got like 10 points down. Mm-hmm. That was it for the running game.
And see, that's the thing, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, maybe. But you know, there was so much praise for Kirk Cousins throwing almost 500 yards. But I'm thinking, like, why is he throwing? I think he had 53 passing attempts. Like, why is he throwing the ball that much in a game that was never out of hand? And it didn't seem to me, from what I saw, that Robert Kelly wasn't at least somewhat. And again, it's not trying to make this a Cowboys show, but I mean, you see this sometimes with teams who have success running the ball, that they don't get upset with the 2 yards here, 1 yard there, 3 yards there, because they know by the time we get to the second half, those 2-3 tough yards are going to turn into 6-7 tough yards, you know, per carry. And so you keep running because you're working towards something for the third, fourth quarter. Dallas does it all the time. Zeke, early in the game, the first drive, very effective running the ball. I thought maybe the Skins were going to be in for a long day. But then after that, subsequent drives after that, they were just, you know, slowly moving the ball down the field, 2 yards here, 3 yards there. And that's what you do. So there was no reason for Rob Kelly to just get 14 carries. I did not understand that. Again, in a game that wasn't out of hand, even when you were down and able to move the ball, the clock was not your friend. Giving the ball back to Dallas was not the thing that the Redskins wanted to do, and the quick scores actually ended up hurting them.
Well, the team just reverted back to what it had been early, and that's totally relying on the passing game, this new NFL thing that it ends up hurting in the long run. I mean, it's great for fantasy football experts, but it was even so this discombobulated that remember that a couple of series the sun was shining directly in the Kerr's eyes. I thought to myself, well, this is a perfect time to run the ball. Right. Then. You don't have to worry about that. Right. You turn your back to the sun, give the ball to the running back.
Let him run.
But
right.
It just threw everybody off.
It's really interesting. I mean, and by the way, Kirk Cousins, I mean, I don't want to, you know, like diminish his performance. 41 for 53. 12 incomplete, 41 for 53, 449 yards, 3 touchdowns. But the number that counts.
I'm talking
to it! How you like me now, Tor? You know? 41 for 53, 449 yards, 3 touchdowns. How you like me now? That's what Kirk started. But, I mean, I just didn't think it was well balanced as far as the game. Jordan Reed, by the way, coming back after hurting his shoulder, that was a big plus for the Redskins, him playing hurt. Because when he went down, I thought, here we go again. Jordan Reed won't come back into the game.
Yeah, well, you know what? When Jordan Reed goes down, I'm not that pressed anymore because Vernon Davis has been showing that he's a quite confident backup right. And would start on most teams, right? Or,
absolutely.
Or find some way to run a two tight end offense. Like, I know I've seen people do it before and they've won championships. Just say, I know you're listening, Jay. You know, you take it like a man. Two tight end offenses work too, right? You know. But, yeah, there's ways to do this. Now, you know, it's so interesting, the swing, like the momentum from the big Green Bay game in which they pummeled a very big Green Bay game
where they just, I mean, worked Green Bay up and down the field, especially in that second half. And then you're looking at this game and like, wait, because, I mean, I don't even really want to be fooled by the final score. I mean, the Redskins scored 20 points in that fourth quarter. Don't think that, you know, maybe... the Cowboys defense, yeah, not the best against the pass, but I mean, to hold the Redskins to 6 points after the first three quarters, the defense played pretty well. Yeah, you take away a couple of those late touchdowns. Maybe there was one mix-up coverage with the long DeSean Jackson touchdown. You're really looking at 19 points on the board.
Yeah, against a second and third string Dallas defense, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
Look, Pittsburgh basically did the same thing. The Ravens tried, but it was the ball control. It was exactly what you were saying. It was like Ezekiel Elliott, 2 yards here, mm-hmm. 3 yards there. Eat up some clock, control the ball, keep it out of the enemy's hands, right? And playing catch up is not the thing. I mean, it's great for Kirk, great for his stats,
probably
great for his wallet next year too. Let me take a side note here while I'm right there. You all, everybody out there who's saying pay Kirk, and I'm one of them. You had to play some defensive players too. And where did they get the money from? Okay, I digress. All
right. Right. Well, the question, you know, going down the rest of the season. I mean, look, the Skins obviously aren't out of the playoff rush, out of the playoff hunt because I mean, you know, the NFC itself is a little weak this year. You look at Dallas, you look at Seattle, they're probably going to lock up playoff spots in the next couple of weeks. But then everybody else, I mean, it's open. It looks like the East could get 3 teams in. Right now, it looks like it would be the Giants and the Redskins. If the playoffs were to start today, it would be the Giants and the Redskins getting those wild card spots.
Yeah,
so the season's not over.
That second wild card team got to travel to Seattle, it looks like, though.
Right, right. And so, I mean, it's not, you know, as if the season is over now, but you can't help but to think, you know, as far as Kurt's concerned, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, these are all guys in contract years. Now, Kurt could get franchised again, but I'm not sure what the value would be long term for the team to do that, because you franchise him again, I almost guarantee you, you know, he won't be coming back after that.
He had to take his $40 billion and go there, you know, right?
Right?
Either he wants to be here or he does not, yeah. Right? You know, I have seen some circumstances. There's a guy in New England who's done it. I remember when the Packers were doing it, the quarterback did it, who restructured because they realized that the whole thing isn't about them financially. And the team right. has to be able to afford to pay the other players that's going to be required.
There's other players on this team.
Yeah, to get them to that next level. Right?
You don't want to call a time and say, we only got 10 men on the field. No, well, that's because we only have 10 men for this play. We don't have an 11th guy because we can't afford them.
Yeah, not in our budget. Yeah, because you're going to have to get a couple of good free agents now. You know, we invested a lot of money in the guy playing in the corner who I'm thinking about, like, we're not mentioning him on the show anymore because he's starting to become an embarrassment. But you're going to have to be wise. Yes, Kirk Cousins deserves to be paid among the top 10 quarterbacks in this league. He deserves it. He has earned that. Right. Are any of the quarterbacks worth that much money? No. No. But that's not Kirk's problem right
now. Right.
They're paying Osweiler. They're paying these other guys.
That might be the story of the season right there. As much money as Brock Osweiler is getting paid to be a below average quarterback in Houston, that's robbery.
Yeah, let me ask you something.
That's robbery.
Have you ever heard of the name John Konkak?
Let me ask you that. Right. Yeah.
John Konkak was a college Olympian. He played at, I believe it was Arkansas. And at one point, John Konkak, he played for the Hawks. And I know a lot of you never heard of him before, but at one point, John Konkak had the largest contract in the NBA. Right. And yeah. John Konkak. Right. I think he might have averaged maybe 9 points a game, maybe 6 rebounds. Maybe. We'll have to look that up. So there is no rhyme or reason of how this stuff happens. You just got to have a good agent. Right. But yeah, Kirk deserves to be paid, but he can't do it at the expense of all the other ingredients necessary to make this cake work, right?
Mm-hmm. You know? Right. Well, I mean, if they let Kurt walk because of the money, there is another quarterback in Dallas who's looking for some playing time somewhere.
There's one here.
Right, exactly. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website's federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The Redskins fall to 6-4-1 after a 31-26 loss against the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, you want to talk about Josh here? You want to wait?
Let's talk about Josh right now. Let's talk about Norman now, because it seems as if Josh kind of rubbed you the wrong way.
On national TV, and the whole world saw it, and they tried not to say anything about it, but at times they couldn't avoid it. Josh was, well, borderline dirty.
Right. He was playing dirty ball, and the thing that was so upsetting is that so we saw the whole Odell Beckham Jr. thing with Josh Norman, and it seemed like Odell Beckham, and he was the one acting like a hothead that game.
He
was a bad guy. But then you watch this Josh Norman and Dez thing, and Dez will blow his temper. He's on his own teammates. He'll go off.
Yeah.
He kind of held his composure. I mean, he was in his face, not letting them push him around. But what was odd to me was like the refs weren't there. There was one play, the Dak Prescott scramble for a touchdown. Dak's in the end zone. The ref signals touchdown. Dez throws his hands up for a touchdown. Josh Norman then comes and pushed Dez into the referee. And the ref just kind of turns around and puts his hand up and then keeps walking. And Dez is like, hello, he pushed me into you. Like, is there a play for that, a flag for that, unsportsmanlike conduct, something like this guy. And then I think after that play, there was one referee talking to Dez, one talking to Jason Garrett, and three refs talking to Jay Gruden. No one's saying anything to Josh Norman. And I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone here? What's happening?
And fortunately for Josh, because that behavior any other time will penalize your team. You get
15 yards.
Right. Not only you, but it hurts your team.
And
it's
that's
not
what
all
was
about
so,
you.
And that's what was so frustrating, is that you're in a close game, in a tight game where every yard counts, and then Josh Norman gets – and imagine if he gets a 15-yard penalty on a drive that could have iced it for Dallas.
Right.
Imagine that happening.
One of those times where they needed to get the ball back at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Plus, I believe, don't quote me, 2 personal fouls. Aren't you ejected? Automatically ejected?
Yes.
Now, you can't get more personal than after the tackle, picking the guy's leg up, sticking it straight up in the air like a lightning rod, What is he doing? I can understand the trash talk. I can understand
going
that.
Going back and
Man,
forth.
Playing flag football when I was like 19 years old. You should have heard some of the stuff guys say, right? But I can understand the back and
bumping
forth.
Bumping a little bit, twisting someone's ankle and pushing them after the play.
After the touchdown that you had nothing to do with. It's like you thinking because you covered your man and they scored that the team didn't score on you.
Yeah, I won because they didn't score on me. No, everyone got scored on. The team got scored on.
Yeah, and interestingly, because it's a holiday game, they're going to have a primetime game. They're going to have all these extra cameras there, different ISOs and different things they wouldn't have in a normal game. So you got to see all of it. The country got to see all of it. The officials, whoever's in charge of the officials, they got to see all of it too.
Right.
Now I'm expecting like it's going to be like, I don't know, like that old song, tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. That's the next time Josh Norman steps on the field.
Yeah.
If he sneezes wrong.
Because, I mean, he can't pull another game off like that.
No.
You know, he can't. The next time they play the Giants, he can't do the same foolishness he does with Odell Beckham Jr. because Odell's not going to get those flags. Josh is. They're going to be on the lookout for him now. It was totally ridiculous the way he was acting.
Yeah, because I when he first got here, right, you figure, well, hey, they're addressing a need in the secondary. They're making an attempt, and that nobody can beat me attitude. Maybe the team needed a little bit more confidence in the secondary because they were getting lit up, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's just starting to become a little bit too much about Josh and look at me.
Yeah, he's a good cornerback. I mean, he's playing good ball. He's got he's got a nose for the ball. He makes good plays on. He's got a couple turnovers. But we could do without that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that the same way I feel about Kurt's passing stats for Thursday. Great to have. But we still lost.
Yes.
So, you know, tone that down a little bit and let's try to win. You know what I mean? The attitude is fine. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. Coming back, Kevin and I, at least in my home, no one knew I was recording. No, everyone knew I was recording.
Yeah, yeah.
No secret tapes here, no Watergate stuff. We've got audio of what Thanksgiving Day was like in our homes watching this game. And we'll play that coming up next in the next segment on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. 31-26, that's the Thanksgiving score. Cowboys improved to 10-1. Redskins dropped to 6-4-1, and so it's going to be an interesting home stretch to end this season. We'll see what the Skins can do to make a push for the playoffs. If they started today, they'd be in. Not going to Seattle. Seattle would actually have the bye with the Cowboys. I think they'd be going to Detroit for a rematch against the Lions in that wild card round.
The best team gets a bye. I was thinking, wow, that's a great thing.
The Lions again.
Yeah.
Right, and win that one.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's if it started today, things can change quickly. What that makes it, five more games left in the season? Yeah, five more games left, and so things can change in five games.
You know
games.
What I don't like, though, man? We're at this point again because we're looking at what has to happen for us to be in the playoffs and all that. This team got to win. This team got to lose. We might go here. We might go there. At what point do we start thinking about, let's get home field for the whole thing, right?
Right.
What point do we become that team? Right? Can we do that paying Kirk Cousins what he wants, right?
Isn't that what Stephen A. Smith talked about?
I know you are, Kirk, but you got Captain Josh on the other side. He's already getting paid, right? And, you know, it's a delicate balance. We'll see what Jay and the 26 coaches and the staff how they can make this thing
we'll
work.
We'll see how they can make it work.
They painted themselves into a corner.
Yeah,
they painted themselves. I mean, why? I understand you don't think Kurt's the best in the world, and to be perfectly honest, there's a lot of bad quarterbacking out there right now. But you can't make this thing a public display. Maybe give him a shorter deal. Maybe not give him Tom Brady money, but don't treat him like he's Ryan Fitzpatrick either. Right? You know?
Come on. Right.
We all in this thing together, except for me, because I ain't paying none of them. Right.
Right. And by the way, we're not getting paid by any of them.
That's right. That's
which is
right.
Even
that's
more
right.
of an outrage.
We'll push it back to Thanksgiving. They truly got a lot to be thankful for. Because they're getting Kirk and $18 million this year. And unhappy.
Win or lose, I'm going to the bank.
And he's unhappy about it.
Yeah, right. Okay. Look, man, Thanksgiving is always a fun time at our house. And so what we did was we still thought it would be really cool. After last week's show, we said, look, let's run some tape, man. Let's record some stuff at our houses during the Thanksgiving game. And we'll play it back just so folks can kind of hear what's going on there. And I'm pretty sure everyone can relate to what they hear on the tape. What I did with mine, it's probably about 2 minutes long. It's got some music and stuff with it, but it basically is just going to chronicle beginning of the game, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter of just people's thoughts and stuff like that. Building the dramatic.
So we're just moments before the Redskins game. I'm here at a very ruckus Cowboys-Redskin matchup. I think we're split pretty even. We got some Redskin fans and some Cowboys fans. I'm just trying to get a poll to see who's everybody's going for. Who are you?
Cowboys!
Redskins!
Good game!
Cowboys!
So you can see it's a divided house. This should be a really fun game. Okay, so it's the end of the first quarter. Cowboys up 7-0. Skins fans seem to be quiet most of the quarter, but it looks like they kind of came alive late, and they're very confident they're going to score to start this second quarter. So we'll see what happens. Things have calmed down a little bit. Cowboys fans are still
some of the same people at my house.
So we'll see what happens. So we're back in the second quarter, but the second half's about to start. 17-6. Cowboys lead.
Now, have they eaten at this point?
Cowboys.
They have eaten.
Yes. Okay. Be upset about some of these calls in the first half, even though they're up. And Redskins fans have oddly enough, has been switching to different conversations. But the Cowboys fans are really in it. So here we go. So it's the start of the fourth quarter. It's very tense.
It was very quiet at this point. Start of the first quarter? Oh, man.
Skins fans are trying to.
It was never quiet in my
defense. Cowboys fans are trying to figure out how they're going to make a stop. So it's really, really, really intense. And it's getting riled back up. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here, getting riled up. Because now they're talking about will Kirk Cousins throw a pick in the fourth.
This is not the game.
Were you in danger at any point doing this?
It felt like it.
So, technically, the game's not over, but for all intents and purposes, the game's over. I think everybody enjoyed the game. The Cowboy fans are kind of cheering around here. A lot of booze, though.
There's a lot of booze.
Very good game. So, Cowboys are in victory formation with 23 seconds left. Dak takes a knee, and the game is over. The Cowboys improve to 10-1. Redskins fall to 6-4-1 with a 31-26 loss to the Dallas Cowboys. We're about to eat some pie and possibly drink some adult beverages.
Hey, look.
Federal Bar Report. Federal News Radio.
At this point, it seemed like they didn't care who won or lost. At that point.
There was some dessert and beverages being consumed. And so at that point, I think everyone was just having a good time. Yeah, man. Look, it was interesting because everyone's excited and happy during the game. And even after the first quarter, it was a little quiet with some Redskins fans, a lot of Cowboys fans upset with some of the calls that they felt weren't going their way. And then right around the fourth quarter, just quiet, real tense. And it's funny because a lot of sports fans all have their own superstitions. And so you got to see everyone kind of do their own little thing, like without knowing that folks are watching. I mean, one person would not pick up their phone and send a text to someone who they did not text before the Cowboys scored. So I can't text them back because we scored. And so it was kind of just weird. Yeah, Two people got up and moved and said, oh, no, I got to sit back in my other seat because, you know, the Redskins scored when I was sitting right there. It was just so wild and so crazy. But that's how it was.
That's why I try to watch the game. I total isolation, like Superman in the Fortress of Solitude.
But you know what? That's funny because before the game came on, I prefaced the whole game saying, you guys know I normally watch the games on purpose by myself, like locked in a room by myself because I don't watch it with other people.
Right. And this Thanksgiving show.
Especially not one that big.
Right, this shows people why. I understand. Now, that was very interesting, man. It sounded like a lot of fun. Now, my household had a different vibe, right? Because, first of all, it was sort of a last minute thing that we were going to host Thanksgiving dinner, right? And then, secondly, the crowd was 85% women. You know, it's just the way it worked out. I got three daughters, right? My mother-in-law was there, sister-in-law, her daughter, right? I was only saved by my nephew and my daughter's boyfriend. There was only testosterone in the house, right?
Okay.
So while it is a perfect example, man, while the game is going on, everybody's intent to the game, I had the phone. I told him I'd be recording to get some of the sports audio. This is what I was listening to.
Wash your hands. Take a light down. What's the news? Doesn't matter. Just put maybe 9-10 sections.
Really? That's all?
Yeah. Talking about doing hair.
Bigger section. It's just gonna take a long time to dry because my hair is a lot.
Oh, you so I started right afterwards.
But then they get back to the game.
36, please.
36. So I had to go through that, man. They were just going back and forth. They were talking, you know, they'd be talking about hair and then go the
36,
current, right?
Please.
Then like talk about Trump and then
you know? Hair and Trump and football.
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening, right? But then it would go back and forth. Like I said, this is like, okay, because, you know, my wife used to play basketball. She was a cheerleader, okay. Right? Daughter played basketball, right? My sister-in-law is an official, basketball official,
oh,
right? You know,
so nice.
They're not just like, They know about the game.
They know
the
what
game.
They're talking about.
But,
yeah.
You know, this is very sexist for me. You know, I've got to put it out there. They're still women. So it was a different experience for me. Like, you know, there's some. But you know, this is show you how astute they are, right? I just want to show you, like, this segment. Everybody remembers this part of the game.
Okay.
It was second. It was third and 23.
No, why would you just do like a drop off and make like
it's a wide receiver screen.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Only 1 yard from the line of scrimmage. So and you got 1 yard gain on third.
And this goes into the point where it calls timeout for the timeout for the field goal kicker.
Oh. He missed four.
What happened?
He made it.
They blew the whistle.
We did. Why would we?
So we just wasted time out while he was getting ready to kick. Oh, that's great.
We had some weird calls. Like last week, like on Sunday, when they had the.
Yeah, so no, but they speak. But I can't rely on that. I don't know where it might be. It might be shoes. It might go to shoes.
What?
Wait, I just want to go to the end of this real quick. I just want to show you how it ended up.
Okay, Jay Gruden, that was dumb.
here's how you, this is one thing I love. Like, so you listen to women speak, because it's differently. We're all different. That's how you know when a woman is upset with something you do. When she starts to yell, but then she stops. It's like, why in the world would they? And she just stops. Why would they? And then that's it. You know what? That's it. I'm not even going to say.
There was so much more going on this day. And like I said, I'm trying to watch the game. I'll tell you after this what my solution was, but. All this was going on.
Dallas will get 3rd and 15. It's like, okay, they might not only get 15, but they might get 20.
Shut them down. You know better. You gotta shut them down.
They're getting
down.
Serious about it now.
Shut them down.
Angry.
Serious.
Like, competitive anger.
Shut them down.
Wait. Let me pause this right now. That's the lovely Mrs. Stanfield in the background now. My daughter's boyfriend, who's a football player, right? Okay. You know, he's a linebacker. And he was sitting there enjoying the game, too. But he was observing all this that's going on. And I was afraid he was going to just, like, run out, right? You know? But it was very amusing to him.
Did he have a rooting interest in this game?
No. He's a Washington fan, but he's a football fan, right? He's a ball player, right? He can look at, I can talk to him about the game itself, right? But, you know, not about the hair and the shoes. But I just wanted to throw that in there. But then.
Yeah!
No flag! No flag! All right.
Sit your back.
Yeah,
sit your back.
Okay.
I
said
it. Get the serious, man.
Yeah.
Knows whose voice you don't hear during any of this, right?
Are you there, Kevin?
Get back over here.
But I think there was one more highlight in the game.
Very
I think
angry.
I'm not sure what they were talking about, but
right, it's not.
It's just very good.
Yeah, it is. It's not.
And let's stop talking about the food.
Yeah,
it's just. You ever seen like a school official, like all of a sudden they might be going 50 miles an hour, and all of a sudden they turn,
change direction,
and just like everybody at one time, and that's what they do, and it was. So good at
right,
it. I understand.
Right.
We boiled the man's
can. You have got to be kidding.
That was funny.
I'm trying to watch the game.
You are kidding.
We're going to strike that.
Yeah, strike that from the record.
Okay. It's the best homemade sweet potato casserole that I've ever had.
Okay. Thought we were watching the game.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Okay. So my solution was very simple. My solution to all this was just very, very simple. I recorded the game and went and watched it after everybody left.
By yourself.
By
the
myself.
The way you wanted to.
The way I wanted
Happy
to.
Happy Thanksgiving,
so
everybody.
So I got everything I wanted.
Yeah, it's weird, man, because number one, I usually don't watch games with a lot of people, like important ones.
Right,
I usually
kind
of watch that by myself. And then you're right. I mean, the tone of, at some point, like, this is why my reel was only 2 minutes long. Because at some, same thing, conversation about the food, who did the potato salad, well, how much relish did you, you know, all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, well, how in the world did you make that curry salmon? It's like, you know, well, what are you talking about? Get out of here with that stuff so we can watch the game. You know, because it's distracting people. It's distracting the attention and the focus that the fans need when watching the game.
Right, right.
But it's Thanksgiving, so you kind of allow for it. But, we don't look forward to that
part. And the interesting thing is, like, my wife said, you know, that she wanted us to host Thanksgiving. I said, no. I don't want, because it'd probably be a lot of people here. Well, like the way they were going to try, it wasn't going to be a whole lot of drama, but I just didn't want all the prep work. And my wife, like I said, is one of those magazine people. Like you see a Women's Day magazine where the door leaves have to be the same shade as like the pie.
And, the Home and Country kind of magazine.
Like, she's like doing all that. Like the paper cups have to have the same seam on them. Yeah. Punch this, you know, I don't, you know.
She's a master hostess.
Yes, she's great at it. Give me a paper plate, man. And if nobody's looking, I don't need a plate.
right. No. And so then we both ended up hosting Thanksgiving dinners at our house. I mean, well, look, and it's all fun and games, and we love it. But at the same time, let's not talk about hair and food when the game is on.
I had no choice,
the main game.
I was. Oh, that's makes it so. And in the man cave room, well, I had a basement, and that's why I had the indoor turkey fryer. This thing is the bomb, man. The house still smells like turkey grease. I'm still working on that right now. But that, you know, that was my excuse. What are you doing down there? Oh, I'm checking on the turkey. Well, isn't it an indoor fryer?
Just make sure everything's good.
Make sure the electricity is stayed on there.
See, that's the thing. So what we didn't have this year is that one person who's always like, do we have to watch this game? You know, because everyone always had that. We didn't have anyone even utter those words this year.
Okay, well, good for that. Because
we've had that in years before. We're like, you know, we've got multiple TVs in other rooms. Like, you can go watch whatever you want to watch somewhere else.
Outside.
We're watching the game.
Get your generator.
House.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know what's wrong with people. Anyway, it's the Federal Bar Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, Kevin, we just did the audio from Thanksgiving. Did you or your family participate in any of this Black Friday stuff? We stayed in.
My wife had traditionally gotten up and gone shopping at like 2 a.m, 3 a.m. But I don't want to say she's getting older, but it's just well, one thing our children are getting older and they need less stuff.
Right.
My wife can just give them some cash. I'll give them some cash. Go get your own. They'll be happy, right?
Basically.
So no, and last year I discovered the internet.
That's what's so funny. You know, we were talking about this because my wife and I haven't gone out for the Black Friday deals, and probably three. Our son just turned 4, so I think the first year my mother-in-law. So about three years we just haven't done it, and for simple facts that Christmas sales start in October. I mean, so you know they talk about every Wednesday from here on through New Year's will be the biggest Wednesday sale of the year.
Really?
Every single Wednesday is going to be the biggest one, and so you don't have to get fooled by that. Number two, like you said, the internet, and then number three. You know, what's an extra 2% actually going to mean to the cost? Things are going to be on sale from here, and you know, and it's something that I value more than missing a TV sale. It's sleep.
Oh, man,
I'd rather just sleep and not be out there with crazy folks. And it's weird because then Friday we still went out to Target just to get some stuff for around the house, and there was hardly anybody there. It was 6:30 p.m. Friday evening. Nobody at the Target in Silver Spring.
That's amazing. Now my daughter
was being packed at 3 in the morning.
My daughter works at Bloomingdale's, one of those stores in Tyson's Corner.
Nice.
She had to be at work yesterday at 4. We live like maybe 35 minutes away. Right. She left for work 3 hours early because she said it will take me that long to find a parking space once I get there.
Oh goodness, get out of here! You know what? The last Black Friday we went out, we did go to Tyson's Corner, and it took us about 45 minutes to an hour to find a space. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Enjoy Thanksgiving and the football and food with your family, people.
Now, did I mention last week about the Grinch that stole Christmas? They had that on.
No, you didn't mention that.
Oh, man, I was watching TV last Monday, 3 days before Thanksgiving. I was just doing a little channel surfing, and I looked, and TBS had How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
The Jim Carrey one or the animated one?
The
cartoon
animated one, right?
Oh, man, get out of here.
And I stopped what I was doing and got on Twitter and started tweeting about TBS. I said, come on, TBS. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Are you all doing this to us, right? What is the problem?
Now, that's what's interesting because I love Christmas, love the holidays, and traditionally, what we would do is whoever's hosted Thanksgiving dinner in my family that night, we would put up their tree. But I didn't do that this year. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to let Thanksgiving ride out. And we'll decorate Friday. And that's what we did. The tree is fine, and we were able to enjoy it on Friday.
Oh, man, me and the girls got up yesterday morning and had turkey and ham for breakfast and macaroni and cheese and all that. Traditional day after Thanksgiving breakfast, and enjoyed it. Yeah. So Thanksgiving, I'll probably be through with it maybe about Tuesday or so.
Let it ride out a little bit before you jump into it.
But the but it was a great holiday. I was glad it was here. I was happy when it was over. Right. But the fact that the Burgundy and Gold were playing on Thanksgiving meant a whole lot. It did. So, you know, wish the outcome was a little bit different. And I hate Dak and Zeke. They're just so good.
They're good, folks. They're good. 31-26. That's the final score. Redskins dropped to 6-4-1. Cowboys are 10-1. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the remaining schedule for the Washington Redskins, and we'll go through the 1 million different playoff scenarios. Maybe we'll do that. Who knows? It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Now back to the Federal Football Report with Kevin and Claude. Wow, two guys talking about football. So what else is new?
Final segment on the Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. 31-26, last time we'll talk about this game. Cowboys beat the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day. Kirk Cousins, though, everybody's impressed by that. 41 of 53 passing, 449 yards, 3 touchdowns. Not a bad day, but still, you know, in a loss. And so Cowboys 10-1, Redskins dropped to 4-6-1. Coming up next for the Redskins is a matchup in Arizona against the Cardinals, Kevin.
They're having to travel all the way across country. Just came back from Dallas. It was halfway. They're depressed. Chris Arm will be in a bucket of ice. Fortunately, it's a very, very very, very disappointing Arizona Cardinals team that we're facing this year, because they were a stone's throw away from the NFC title last year. Mm-hmm. And it's just so hard to figure out what's going on. I mean, Carson Palmer's sort of career was resurrected.
Yeah.
And now I know he's suffered a couple of injuries, but it's just so hard to figure out what's happening. I mean, if it wasn't for Larry Fitzgerald, the ageless wonder.
Yeah, you're wondering who's actually playing out there.
Yeah, what is happening? What is going on? They had like an up-and-coming defense. One thing, Todd Bowles went to New York to take on the Jets job, and he was the one that was the architect of that defense out there. You know, he took some of that burgundy and gold skill out there with him, and he brought a defensive attitude out there, right? And it's just so hard to figure out. And you know what? And this is one of those games that, like, the gambling people call a trap game, because this might be the team that the Cardinals gets up for, the burgundy and gold, for some reason right now. This should be a win. You should mark this off as a win. I mean, all these are must-win games now.
And not just must-win games for the Redskins, but must-win games for a lot of different teams, even for Arizona, who, by the way, very slim chance, but still got a shot. I mean, they're 4-5 right now. The game that they've got coming up this weekend. And again, at the time that we're taping this game hasn't happened yet. It's against Atlanta in Atlanta before they play the Redskins. You win 2 straight. You're 6-5. You're kind of still in the mix because you just knocked off Atlanta, and you would knock off the Redskins given both of those teams' losses, which would help your playoff position. And so this, Aaron Rodgers said it best. You know, every game at this point for Green Bay and for many other teams, including the Redskins, are like must-wins now because you're all playing each other. So one loss for you not only affects your win-loss record, but it also gives a loss to a team. By the way, Minnesota was the last opponent for the Cardinals. They lost that game 24-30. And so, I don't know, I think keys to this game is going to be, again, you can't be afraid of the big play, but you can't abandon the run. They got to find a better balance. You can't have Kurt throw the ball 53 times in this game.
Yeah, are they so unsure about their defense that they feel that we got to put up big numbers? And which is understandable, but they're putting up big numbers without scoring.
Right.
It was a couple of defensive lapses the Cowboys had that allowed them to get back in this game, especially the deep pass to DeSean, because it was a quick hit. It didn't take a lot of time off the clock, and it allowed them to have time. Oh, by the way, I did say this in the middle of a bunch of Burgundy and Gold fans, and I had to. I hated saying that. When the last series the Cowboys had, brilliant call, that wide receiver screen to Breasley.
Brilliant call because they were
stacking the box, and they tried the Burgundy and Gold. Like what Sister Law said, the Burgundy and Gold, they need 17. They can't pull it off. And the Cowboys can. And it's so unsettling. But that was a brilliant call. So we're going to need all 26 of them coaches to get together and come up with a game plan that will not only, A, allow the Burgundy Gold to win this game, but B, have something to build on, some type of momentum for the next game. And I thought that they had that. I really thought that they had that against Green Bay because everything was clicking on all cylinders. We had the running game. We had the pass protection. Ty Nsekhe, that's another guy that I guess they stumbled across, right? You know?
Right.
And then they just changed. They just changed up against the Cowboys. So we need to get back to basics. Run the ball 2 yards, 3 yards is not a failure. You know,
yeah.
We need to do that. We need to dominate. And the defense needs that. We need some of that pass rush pressure. Didn't seem to be bothering Dak. He just, pressure over here? I'll move over there. You know, we need to change that. We need to get back to what was successful and stop experimenting.
And by the way, speaking of defense, can someone just tell Josh Norman, you know, don't try to do all the stupid stuff to try to get inside of Fitzgerald's head because you're not going to do it. You know, and you're only going to make yourself look like a jerk. So just stop.
And the eyes of the world were on you. That's what makes it so bad. That's why I kept saying everybody's seeing it. And the official, Mr. Joe, president of the official, whatever his name is, he ought to be embarrassed right now, right? Because the world saw it. And the announcers were trying to put a friendly, you know, Mike Pereira, whatever his name is, the guy on the sideline. Oh, man, I'll be throwing flags left and right. You know? But you know, yeah, Josh, enough is enough, man. We get it. Okay, yeah, you're whatever you are. Yeah, okay, you're the best. Chill out. Shut up.
And so the next couple of games, I mean, we emphasized this a little bit earlier. I mean, you're playing teams who still have who these games mean something to as well outside of the Chicago Bears. I mean, the next game coming up is against the Cardinals. We just talked about what that means to them. Then you've got the Eagles coming up, and the Eagles can gain a whole game on you by beating you and you losing to them, and they're a game behind. And so you've got the Eagles coming up. That's in Philadelphia on December 11th. Then on the 19th, there's the Panthers. That looks like the Monday night game.
I believe it is.
Yeah, the Monday night game against the Panthers, who, by the way, again, as bad as they've been playing, they're not out of the hunt. You know, the NFC's been weak right there in the middle, and so that game's probably going to mean something to them, too. Then you've got in Chicago against the Bears and then the Giants, and that game will likely mean something to them, too. And so every single game from here on out and every single opponent, again, besides the Bears, is going to mean something. And so you got to see playoff urgency. Yeah. Do we have to go back to this passion, Coach? There's got to be some kind of passion and sensibility. You got to be able to win these games. I think at 6-4-1, at the next five, if you go 3-2, 9-6-2 might not be enough.
You got to win all five.
You may have to win all five.
You cannot take that chance.
You got to win all five.
You got to win every game. You got to pull out. If it looks like you might lose this next game, you need to pull out all the stops, right? Don't pull out the stops so early, like going for two with 15 minutes left in the first quarter.
Or an onside kick with 10 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, don't look. That was another stupid call. We forgot all about that one. Why? And why? Yeah, again, not so much what happens if you make it, but what happens if you don't succeed.
And Dallas got the ball right at the 40 and was able to score.
Dumb. You know, we got to do something.
Man.
And look, here's where they can start. If you win the coin toss, take the ball. You need every opportunity you can to score. So that's if you do that, you just turn it around there. It changes the whole philosophy.
The whole philosophy of the game. Well, there you go. Well, we'll be back next week to do some more analysis here on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.